Welcome. Good morning. Every time I start one of these Dharma talks lately, I feel a little bit at first a loss for words. I'd like to talk a little bit about non-attachment. We talk about it a lot. And what is it that we're really being non-attached to? Is it, as is commonly called, this world is a delusion, it's an illusion? Is it the world that we're supposed to become unattached to? The Zen master Gosan Shin in Germantown, Maryland, where I used to sit, said that desires are not a problem. Nothing wrong with desires. It's natural to have desires. It's the attachment to them. So this is the kind of attachment we're talking about. It's called self-cherishing, or I, me, and mine. It's not the world. Once we understand our own nature, the universal mind principle that's clear like space, the don't know mind, the non-duality of our existence, and we're all part of, once we recognize that, self-cherishing, really? What self are we cherishing? So in our particular kind of practice, we focus on what's called the perfections rather than focusing on leaving this world of so-called samsara or suffering and going somewhere else, going to nirvana, going to enlightenment, being free from this world of suffering that everybody is involved in. That's not our way. Our way is to recognize our self-cherishing, that's what is the delusion, that's what is causing our suffering. And really what we're after is waking up to this universal mind space that we're all part of, that is so beyond description, beyond words, our original nature, don't know mind. So we're in the world, we're part of this. So by changing, reconfiguring the way we perceive self and others, enables us to become what's called bodhisattvas and be helpful in the world and be useful. Because now with don't know mind, we're not assuming anything. We're being in the moment. We're looking at how things are. We're feeling connected. We're not feeling at loss, like there's something missing that we don't have, that we have to get. We're all here in it together. We talk about it like that, but do we really understand what that means? Do we really understand that we really are? This isn't some philosophy. This isn't some idea that we attach to. In our Zen practice, we don't attach to ideas. We go for direct experience of things just as they are. So we're not after following some Dharma talk, some Buddhist writing, or any other philosophy. We're about, what is this? Right here, right now, what is this? That's what we're about. And this opens the door to the bodhisattva path. these perfections that I talked about, generosity, moral conduct, patience, diligence or will, meditation, wisdom. Those are the attributes of a bodhisattva. So we don't leave this world, we stay in this world, and we do what we can. We understand the cause of suffering, and we work diligently to not get caught up in self-cherishing, I, me, and mine, the three poisons of ignorance, greed, and anger. And we try to live a life of compassion and understanding and wisdom and patience and generosity. And we use our meditation to gain our wisdom in experiencing this connection that we all have. This is our way. This is what we do. That's all I have to say about that. I want to add a couple of Kwansum Bosal for the people in Seoul. So sad, so tragic that all these young people who were just enjoying their lives ended up in such a tragedy, and so many people lost their lives. I know there are people in tragic situations the world over, always. My compassion isn't limited to just these people in Seoul. But here's the thing. When something comes to our mind, and the intent of our actions is really important. So when our intention is to have compassion rather than judgment or any of the other deluded views, but compassion enters into our mind when we think of someone who is suffering, and compassion enters our mind, then our intention is so different. It's important. It's a good thing. So even when we're sitting in meditation and we have a loved one or someone who's suffering and going through something, and we just take a moment to let our heart open to them and be compassionate, we're all one. Don't think for a second that it's not being felt somewhere, somehow. That butterfly's wings are flapping somewhere. It is being felt world over. Everything causes and conditions. Everything is related to everything else. Interdependent origination is not some idea. It's how things work. And when we sit and we get still and we have don't know mind, we can see this. We can have the direct experience of it. So what is enlightenment? It's not going somewhere else. It's being right here, right now, in the midst of it, with an awakened heart, mind. Questions?
How attachment has to do with that? I'm a little confused. You talked about the very big picture. My non-attachment always has to do with my kids or friends, and they try to draw me into their suffering, and I have to back away, and that, to me, that's my non-attachment. And so I guess this is on a ground level I'm talking, and you're talking about something much bigger, right?
Well, what you're talking about is actually not non-attachment. Non-attachment is actually encompassing. It's not avoiding or putting aside. Because what you're non-attaching to is your own self-cherishing. So your own sense of my peace is being disturbed. My life is being infringed upon. I, me, mine. You see, that's very different. Where when you're feeling that difficulty of experiencing someone suffering, let's say a child, like if my son is going through a hard time, I feel it, right? Mm-hmm. So I feel like I should be not attached to it. Well, what does that mean? I certainly don't want to be not attached to him. I love him. I care about him. I don't want to see him suffer. So I acknowledge all that. You see, but I have to allow for him to have his own life. So I have to, what I'm separating is this cherishing, this how it's affecting me. Because it's affecting me, so that's where I'm living. It's all about me. And I'm not really feeling the compassion for him totally. I mean, I am, but to some degree, I'm concerned about how I feel about it. That's really not a non-attachment. That's attachment. So it's very confusing. That's why we practice, because we're constantly caught up in this self-cherishing. It's a habit energy. It's been going on for a long time in our lives. And it may just be there always. I mean, that's kind of, now we're approaching karma. Chungan Sunim, who was here several times before COVID, or when we talked personally often, he would say, oh, that's my karma. He would just very humbly admit feeling, you know, attached to something. He would recognize it as his karma. You see? So rather than running away, he was taking responsibility.
So I guess one of the things that came up for me when we spoke about attachment is about attachment to views, which is, you know, for me, like a very contemporary issue.
Yes.
Left and right, right and left.
Yes.
You know, that I have to bludgeon the other side with my views so they can see my, you know, so it's potentiates, you know, both sides.
Yeah.
It just feeds it, and we have the media, of course, getting their, you know, it's just like day after day, it's the same story. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just like, just because someone has a different view doesn't mean that they're wrong, or, you know, that's their view, that's what they are. I mean, we have to meet that somehow, not.
Oh, I understand the problem, of course.
Yeah.
And for me, I talk about it, and the way I look at it is, okay, I'm interested in being pragmatic and in what works, not in ideology.
Right.
Because ideology for me is duality. It's seeing the world, as you just pointed out, these opposites.
Right.
Where being pragmatic is saying, it doesn't have to be this way. But nobody wants to go there because everybody wants to be right. Because again, it's self-cherishing. Where if they were to sit in stillness for a little while and recognize that we're really in the same boat here, there's no place else to go. We share it. So how are we going to deal with it? That's why I really appreciate what we do here. When we come together and we sit like this as a Sangha. Personally, it feels great, but it's also something that kind of goes out into the world from a different perspective than what's, you know, the chaotic craziness. So it's really necessary to me. Anybody else? All right. So thank you. Have a good day.